open your Bibles, please, to Psalms number 100. And, of course, we are in Thanksgiving month and beginning this wonderful time of the year when we're reminded of the Lord's goodness. I love the fall. I love the winter, the spring, and the summer. But there's just something about the fall, the change of colors and the environment, and just seems like it's such a good time and so many things going on. I thank the Lord for this good time of the year. But we ought to always be thankful and always praising the Lord. But this morning, I wanted you to look at Psalms 100, and I'll read some in 105 as well, because we ought to always be thankful, but this time of the year especially. And so I just felt like the Lord led me to this rather than try to deal with Psalms this morning, Matthew chapter 5 this morning. But we want to be thankful. Now, next Sunday, we're going to thank the Lord for our veterans and thank the Lord for those who are serving currently and for all those who've served in the past and the families of those who paid the ultimate price and the families of those who have gone on previously. And so we just rejoice in that and thank the Lord for that. And then we'll have other special emphasis for the next couple of Sundays on Thanksgiving. But let me read to you this very familiar psalm here, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. If you could say amen to every bit of that, say amen. Amen. Now look over, if you will, a little bit further in your Bible and look in chapter number 5. I want to read a verse or two in chapter 5, but I'm going to come back to chapter number 100. Notice 105. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing praises unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blessed privilege of being in the house of the Lord today. Thank you for Brother Roland leading the singing, Miss Jennifer playing the piano so beautifully this morning. Thank you for the special our Father, Miss Serena, shared with us on being thankful and thanking the Lord. And God, I pray now that you'd bless this time together. God, I confess before you there's no good thing in me. And God, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God, nothing will take place that will count for eternity. But God, I pray you'd help us this morning to worship you. Lord, you said you were seeking such to worship you. And Lord, if we could come into this place this morning and enter in your presence with thanksgiving and with praise, Lord, if we could serve you with gladness, Lord, if we could do the things we've read about in the Scriptures, Lord, we want to please you this morning. You've been so good to us. You're worthy of our praise. God, help us to worship you here. And Lord, if there's one person in this building or in the media audience that doesn't know Christ, I pray our Father that God somehow, the Holy Ghost of God, would speak to their heart, draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. And God, I'm thankful for your kindness to us. And God, I pray you'd help us to ever be thankful and praise you. Lord, some people have more than others. Some have less. Some have better health, and some in their bodies right now are weak. But God, in whatever state we are, whatever condition of our physical being, our financial state, or even our, Lord, own emotional state of family, God, whatever we have, you'll bless us with. And God, we understand that this is just the tip of the iceberg, that there is, for those who know Christ, a great inheritance reserved in heaven that fadeth not away. And our Father, that very soon the Lord Jesus Christ Himself shall descend with a shout. And Lord, we get to go to heaven for all eternity to be with our loved ones there. And they'll have a brand new body, and we'll have a brand new body. No more sorrow, no more sadness, no more separation, no more sickness. And Lord, we've got a lot to be thankful for now. But God, we can look past this veil of this life and thank you, our Father, as long as we have breath in our body, for what we're going to have. And God, help us to do that. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was reading and studying, in fact, I had already had an outline ready. The Lord had laid it on my heart to preach on when I deal with Matthew chapter 5. And it has to do with anger. And we all have that. That's one reason the Lord's got it in the Bible. And I thought it significant when you go through the Beatitudes and then he talks us being like salt and like light, and then that our righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. When he begins to make it very practical application of all those truths, he starts with anger. Why? Because every one of you have exhibited anger. Now, some of you may be a little bit geared like I am. I don't like confrontation. I don't like anger. But I will have to tell you, I get anger. If I go through the drive-thru and don't get my seasoned fries, I get in the flesh. I get mad, particularly if they don't put extra salt. When I told them three times, please put extra salt. And then after I get mad and realize what I've done and ask God to forgive me, I feel real stupid. And I don't know if you do the same thing or not, but some people are geared that way. But I'm thankful for those, all of us have that problem. But God has an answer for anger. So not this coming Sunday, because we'll have Veterans Day, but a little later I'll deal with that. But I want to deal with being thankful through the month of November on the Sunday morning services. But if you have any problems at all with anger, when I announce that you come and be with us in the service, all right? This morning, I want to be thankful. One thing, when I began to think about Thanksgiving, and it's not in my message this morning, but I just want to point it out to you. When our Lord is dealing with sin, the sin of man and how wicked man is in Romans chapter 1, one of the things one day that I have highlighted and circled in my Bible, he talks about them and all the sin that they did, every thought, everything, all the actions, everything was wicked. And there's no good thing in us, and our tongue is full of poison and all those things. He describes us as being lost in such a graphic way. But he mentions this, and neither were they thankful. And in spite of all the obvious sins and things people do, our Lord noticed that they were not grateful nor thankful. Now, if that's true of a lost person, it shouldn't be true of me and you. We should be ever thankful to the Lord. And this wonderful psalm that people preach on and teach on all the time, just about as you come to this time of the year. But it was in my heart. And so I read a verse in my devotional reading in the book of Psalms that made me think about it. And I came back and read this psalm, and God began to just lay a few things out for me. And I knew he wanted us to share it this morning. I want to talk to you in the first place about our motive for Thanksgiving. Why should we be thankful to the Lord? He gives some here. You and I could make a list and there'd be no end to it if we really got really down to it, listing all the goodness of God, all the experiences we've had, all the gifts he's given us, that we could just go on and on and on. But I think there's some things here I want to make a few applications is. And the first thing, I want to talk about our motive for Thanksgiving. And look over, if you will, please, at verse number 3. He's already said we're going to enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. And then verse 3, he brings us to the first motive of why I want to praise him. Notice what he said, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God." I want to thank him and be thankful to him that he is God. Now notice what he said. He said, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God." I've talked to you on the Wednesday morning service about the names of God. What's in a name? And there's the name Elohim, which is the plural name of God. And that's in the book of Genesis. Let us create man in our own image. But here he uses the word God as well. That is the great word of God, the Almighty God. But the word Lord is the word Jehovah. And that has to do with his redemptive name, or his name where he shows us special kindness in so many different ways. And there are 7 compound names of Jehovah where it says that he is Jehovah Rapha and Tiskanu and all those things. But all of them relate to his ministry to us personally. It's a good thing that know that God, know that He's an awesome God and He does this, that, and the other. But he begins this by being thankful that He's not only God, the supreme sovereign God of this universe, but He is Jehovah God, the redemptive God. He's the one who loved us and died for us. He's the one who gave His only begotten Son for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, He was identified when He was in the body because, rightly so, He was God incarnate human body as Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus was His earthly name. He was named that. And then Jesus Christ, He was the Messiah. He is the Messiah of the Jews. He is the sent one, but He's Lord. He is the Jehovah God of the Old Testament that redeems us, and He pardons us, and He forgives all of our sin. He heals all of our diseases, and particularly our spiritual diseases. And He said we ought to praise Him for that. But now notice what He said about Him who is our Jehovah, who is our pardoning Savior God. Notice He said, "It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Note three things that we ought to thank Him for especially. Number one, we ought to note Him for His creation. He made you unique. You look at the stars, and you know what the Bible said? He knows every one of the stars. They're innumerable. You can't hardly, you know, no way to imagine them. The Hubble telescope, every time they increase the power of that, they see new galaxies out there. There's no end to them. But you think about this, the uniqueness of those stars, but every individual who's ever lived since Adam was formed out of the dust of the earth and God breathed in this nostril, the breath of life, they're unique. There's not another person in the world, never has been, never will be another person just like you. God fashioned you, created you, made you who you are. And thank God for that. I worship Him and I thank Him for giving me life and giving me breath. Man, listen, I'd never had these wonderful grandchildren that are down here, my family, my children. I never would have had my wife. I never would have had the blessing of knowing all of my friends and the churches God's let me pastor and this wonderful group of people had He not created me. And listen, God fashioned you. And listen, you think He fashioned you, wound you up like a little toy and let you just go on your way? No, He's never stopped loving you. He's never stopped caring for you. He gave His Son to die for you. And He knows the very hairs of your head. You think He knows that just for those who are saved? He knows that for everybody. He makes it rain on the just and the unjust. He is the Creator God, but He created you. You're unique. He fashioned you. And you ought to just praise Him. Thank God that you... Would you do this morning? Take a deep breath. Thank God for that. Thank God that He gave you the ability to breathe. Put your hand right here on your chest or on your pulse somewhere. And you feel that heart beating? Not one time. I'm 76 years old and not one time have I ever thought, man, I got to make my heart beat. I've never had to do it. You've never had to do it. He fashioned your body. He created this unique body. He created your eye with the capability of tuning in like a telescope. You got those muscles in there. And when we begin to lose our eyesight in older age, that's what it's all about. It's a matter of the muscle tone in our eyes. They get weak. If we could do push-ups with our eyes, we'd probably be able to see better. But you know, you can do eye exercises. But the truth of the matter is, so many of your body functions you never even think about. But He does. He makes your heart beat every time it beats. Every time you take a breath involuntarily, you don't even think about it. He does that. Every time the blood courses through your body and it doesn't take it a matter of moments or minutes for the body to just circulate blood all the way through it. Every time you eat Bojangles or anything else that you want, or even those of you who go to McDonald's, and God have mercy on your soul if you go to, and there's a Bojangles right across the road. But if every time you eat and you chew that food and your mouth begins to secrete the saliva, you don't do that. He does that. When it goes into your body and it begins to break down and He takes that you eat, and what's bad He stores places He ought not to store it, or that's where He puts it. And I thank the Lord He does take care of us. But at any rate, He assimilates it. And some of that Bojangles turns out to be fingernails. Some of it turns out to be flesh, and some of it turns out to be bone, and some of it turns out to be brain cells. I don't know how He does that, but He's a God who created you. You're unique in your person. You're unique in your body functions. He made you that way. All of your life experiences, He's put that in you. The things that you do, the career you chose, He put that in your heart. The path you followed, the people you've met. You ought to just thank Him this morning. Everybody said, thank you, Lord. Say that out loud. Thank you, Lord. I am who I am. God fashioned me. He cared about me. He didn't just throw me together. He said in the Old Testament that He knew me when I was yet in the womb, and He formed me. Formed me. Oh, He formed you and fashioned you. Thank you. And I would remind you that abortion is murder. When that heart's beating, it's murder. And you were in a womb one day and He took care of you. And you're here today because your mom, your dad, didn't believe in abortion. And I am very thankful that God gave me life. But notice something else. He said He's not only our creator, and we thank Him for creation, but He said we are His people. That's different. There's a whole group of people out there that He created, the whole world of people, billions of them that He created. They're all made by God, but they're not all His people. Because see, this is where He chose us. This is where He claimed us. This is where He cleansed us. He saved us. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? You're not going to die and go to hell. You're going to go to heaven. And He's blessed you. The Holy Spirit of God's been inside of you. I listened to Barry teach this morning. I listened to him talk about when he was a young man. I've heard him tell about when he was walking on the back side of the field and God saved him. And for him to be saved and to read that Bible and God began to show him things. I can tell you when I really began to read the Bible. I read it in Sunday school and vacation Bible school, but I'm going to be honest with you, it's like water off a duck's back. But when God, the Holy Spirit, got a hold of my heart and I got really saved, I began to read it and I began to see things. Oh, there'd be pages, and even today, as long as I've been reading it, I can read through a passage sometime and nothing really grabs me or jumps off at me. But as I begin to read and begin to research and go back and forth to the Bible, well, God gets my heart and He speaks to me. I hear His voice in my heart. He shows me truth. Why? Because I'm His people. And that's not unique to me or to Barry. But every child of God that is redeemed, you are His people. And so He put His Holy Spirit inside of you to be the seal until the day of redemption, till your body is redemed. Your soul is already redemed. But the devil's not going to get one part of you. He saved you, body, soul, and spirit. And He's going to give you a brand new body one of these days. And the Bible said it'd be likened to that glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because, notice it says, you're His. You're His. Oh, I think about that. I think about our good friend Eddie Goddard. He's in heaven now. But he had two children, he and his wife. And those children were adopted. God didn't bless them to have children naturally. But God fixed it to where they could adopt children. And when his little girl first started school, she came home crying one day. And she said, Daddy, they said that you're not my mama and daddy, that I'm adopted. And he said, I am your daddy. This is your mama. We have been your parents. And he set her down and he said, honey, all those other little boys and girls in there in your class, they had to get what God gave them. But I had the right out of all the little girls in all the world to pick the one I wanted. God let me pick the one I wanted. And you know what? Out of all the little girls in all the world, I picked you to be my little girl. And he said she began to cry. She never questioned it again. And she rejoiced that my daddy chose me. Can I tell you what the Holy Ghost of God did? He looked at across all the peoples of the earth, and he did love the whole world. But you were special to him. You were created uniquely, but he set his love on you. He sent the Holy Spirit of God to convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He was right there dealing with you the whole time. He brought you to the place where you were willing to repent. And he granted you repentance and you trusted him because he loved you and He chose you and He changed you and He cleansed you. He made you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. You ought to thank the Lord for that. Praise God. I'm telling you right now, your body's dying. He'll give you a new body one of these days, but your soul, when you got saved, it's just growing. It ain't dying. It's growing every day. And one of these days, you'll take a flight out of here. You get to go be with the Lord for all eternity. Oh, what a blessing to think that I'm saved for all eternity because He loved me and He saved me. I am His people. He has claimed me for His very own. But not only that, He cares for me. Look what He said. Here's my motive for praise of His creation of me, of His claiming me. But then He said this. He said, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We're His people, but we're also His sheep in His pasture. I love that, His pasture, not just any pasture. He didn't say my pasture. He said His pasture. It's the pasture of His choosing. And how does He choose a pasture? Well, the shepherds, when they'd go out, they'd leave the sheep in the fold and leave that man by the porter to stand by the place that he had them kept for the night for the sheepfold. And he'd go out, and as he's going to find pasture, he's thinking about those sheep. What kind of grass do they need? What kind of water do they need? And he goes through and he takes out all the poisonous plants. He puts oil in the hole of all the vipers so the snakes can't come up. That's what it meant when he said he prepares a table for me, the president. He's getting everything ready because he wants you to have the very best. He wants those sheep to have the greatest nutrition, the freshest water, the safest environment. And he's prepared everything for them before they ever get there. He's already got it prepared. Why? Because he's the shepherd. And he said in the New Testament, the shepherd cares for the sheep. And I'm thankful and I praise Him because He cares for me. He takes care of me, but He cares about me. All the provision He gives me is wonderful. The food, the housing, everything He's ever given me that I have to pay house payments and light bills. That's great, but He cares for me. The reason He does that is because He cares about me. And I ought to praise Him because He does care. He said, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. I ought to be thankful that I have a God that I don't have to appease. I don't have to cut myself. I don't have to bleed. I don't have to crawl on my knees until they're bloodied to climb some step to kiss somebody's ring. I have a God who cares for me because He set His love on me and He loves me because I'm precious to Him. He did not redeem me with silver and gold, but I was bought with a price. What was that price? The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved me like He loved His own Son and gave His Son to die for me. And He cares for me. And He that gave His own Son for me, why would He not also, as the Bible said, He that gave His own Son and spared not His own Son, didn't try to stop Him, let Him be abused, let Him be ridiculed, let Him be mocked. He spared not His own Son, but gave Him up and delivered Him for us all. And would He not also freely give us all things by Him? He will. He'll give you everything you ever needed. And I want to thank God for His care for me, that He cares about me, not only just the things He gives me, but because of His care. I thank Him because of His creation of me. I thank Him because of His choosing and claiming me. I thank Him because of His care for me. That motivates me to serve Him and love Him. And that brings me to the method of my thanksgiving. You see, thanksgiving is not just vocal. It is vocal. Enter to His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. But there's far more to it than all of that. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You and I, our praise ought to be vocal. And you ought to do it in the house of God every now and then. You ought to just thank Him right out loud. Will you say this with me this morning? I want you to say, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His praise and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Full of joy, rejoicing in His presence. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But then He said, serve the Lord with gladness. We express our gratitude to Him by our service of Him. And then he goes on. He said, sing unto Him. Claim His promises and rejoice and sing unto the Lord, into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. You give expression to it. Your gratitude is in your heart, but it ought to be vocalized in song and praise and testimony, all those things. The Bible says that you ought to praise Him. You ought to give thanks to Him. You ought to profess His goodness to you. If you look in 105 that I showed you a while ago, He said, call upon His name. That means that you, when you're thanking Him, you're giving thanks to Him, but you call unto Him. Calling unto Him, speaking to Him, and express your gratitude directly to Him. Notice what it said. It said, do this. You make His deeds known to others. You thank Him by expressing. You know, when you get a good gift and somebody gives you the gift, automatically you're just maybe blessed or overwhelmed by it. And so you begin to thank the people or the person who gave you that. That's the Lord. But that some things He gave you that you have on your persons. Say your husband gives you a ring or your wife does something special and gives you something and you have it with you. Maybe she buys you a new fishing rod and you go off. And most of you are like me. People have been good to us, blessed us. And so not only do I try to thank the individual, or do I thank the individuals, because I'm certainly thankful, but then I testify to others about their goodness to me, how good God was, and how God blessed me through them, what they gave me. I want to show you what God did. I want to show you what somebody gave me. And He said that the blessing God gives us, we're to testify not only to Him, but we're to testify to other people. You're to just praise the Lord. Now, I had a friend, Brother Danny Hawkins, and he's still my friend, but he's a missionary, and bless his heart, he struggled so. He just seemed like forever having problems. And when I was pastoring in Reidsville, he had one broke down vehicle after another, one after another. And he pulled up one time, and he came in the church, and he's just an old mountain boy. And he said, Brother Billy, God's been good to me. He gave me a new car. I said, well, praise the Lord, you needed one. And he said, I want to show it to him. Went out there, and it was like 10 or 12 years old. And now I'm telling you, you ought to see some of the things he drove before. And he began to look at it, and I said, well, Danny, that's a pretty nice car. He said, yeah, the air conditioning don't work. And I said, okay. And he said the tires were slick in the back, and I had to put tires on. He said, I noticed a while ago the brakes is messed up. And then he goes on, got, and named four or five things. And then he stopped looking at me. He said, you don't reckon the Lord's mad with me, do you? I said, no, He got you this far. He's not going to leave you now. But you see, we may not have the very best, but some people don't have anything. God's been good to us, right? And most everybody, I've heard you say it over and over again, people who are going for dialysis and people who are going into cancer treatments and everything like that. And I'll say, I'm just praying for you. And I know that, you know, going to get the radiation or going to get the chemo and all of that, that's tough. And here's what most of you say automatically. You say, but I see so many people worse off than I am. And we recognize that God's been good to us. And regardless of what we have, and Paul said, I've learned how to be abounding and how to be abased. And that word abased is a very strong word in the Greek. It means to be totally destitute. Paul said, I've learned how to rejoice when I've got plenty. I've learned how to rejoice when I don't have anything. Paul was stoned, left for dead one time. You know, he's put in prison several times. You know, he was shipwrecked and all those things. He went through all those things. But he said, in whatsoever state I am, I've learned to be content. And he also learned to thank God in everything. In everything give thanks unto the Lord. And so our motive, we see, and our method of praise, we're to call upon Him, sing unto Him. But we're to also testify. And that's part of our thanksgiving when we testify. And then in chapter number Psalm 105 in verse 3, he says this, remember the works and the wonders of the Lord. He said, listen, remember what God's done for you. Remember the goodness of God. And so not only now, not only during this month, but from now to Jesus come, make it a habit to go back and remember the blessings of yesterday, the blessings of His wondrous works and His Word, how He spoke to you in His Word, and thank God for that. Listen, not only do I find that, not only do I find His marvelous grace and mercy and all that He's done for us and the motive for it and then the method of my praise, but I find in these scriptures also, I find the measure of my praise. Now, what I mean by that, there is result to it. there's a measure of it. Consequences. What are the consequences of my praise? In the first place, the more I realize how good He's been to me, the more it makes me want to bow at His feet in humble praise and gratitude. It's a humbling thing to think about how good God's been to me and how He's blessed me. All of my friends, many of my friends, and I've said it jokingly, but many of my friends when I started the ministry are in heaven now. I'm thankful they're in heaven. And some of my friends that I started out with, my age and younger, some just a little older than me, are now in nursing homes or assisted living places. And here I am running up and down the highway, preaching, going anywhere I want to go, anywhere God wants me to go, and doing just about anything I can and want to do. I don't know of anything that I can't do but catch fish when I go with sometime me and Brother Jimmy. We don't catch them, but we have a good time eating potted meat and vianas. Amen. But I can do about anything I want to do. And I'm still able to do those things. And I'm thankful to God. But can I tell you, it's a very humbling thing. It's a very humbling thing. And when I go preach, I think they could have had anybody. The church I was at just a few weeks ago, every year, that preacher had Dr. Bobby Robertson from Walkertown Gospelite Baptist Church. They run around 3,000 or 4,000 people in that church. Brother Bobby's in heaven now. He was a friend. But at some point in time, that preacher got to having me come in the fall and Brother Bobby in the spring. And I thought, man, listen, to come and preach, what an honor, what a blessing, where Brother Bobby Robertson preaches. And now Brother Bobby's gone, and I still go just every year and preach in that same place where Brother Bobby used to preach year after year after year. I'm thankful. God has been so good to me. But not just me. You remember what He's done for you. I mean, when you're hurting and you're down, you just go back. And I think the Holy Ghost of God put that in there to bring to our memory the blessings of the Lord. What does it do when I worship Him and praise Him? It humbles me. It brings to memory His goodness to me. And then also, it causes me to speak of Him more kindly and more lovingly to others. If He's been good to me, I'm not there just to indoctrinate them in Baptist doctrine. I'm in there to tell them how good God is and how good God's been to me. And that God is no respecter of persons. When we are thankful and we're truly thankful, it causes us to speak of His works in such a way, not arrogantly, not bragging, but just that God is a God of grace and mercy. And He showed us that. And it will increase our love for Him. But also it will bring me to the place where I will submit more cheerfully to His direction in my life. If I think about all the goodness He's done to me and I'm thankful for where I am now, whatever happens down the road, I'm willing to surrender to Him because I know thus far He's blessed me. And whatever happens down the road, I may be in that nursing home next week or somewhere else. But God's been good to me. He's not going to quit now. He's going to bless us right on. And I can more cheerfully surrender to Him. It'll make me more effective in my witness. But can I tell you, when I am truly thankful to the Lord for everything He's doing for me now, and then when I gaze across this span of life to the other side, I can go ahead and start thanking Him now for what I'm going to have. We were talking sometime, Brother Tim and I, well, Tim last night was talking about when, it was windy. She said she's watched them when they open those doors and the expressions on the people's face in Judgment House. And, of course, this is what they see. It's dark in that hall. When it opens up, there's just these glistening lights and beautiful gold street, all of this up here, and Jesus standing up here and the angels. She watches their eyes and faces. She said most of them do like this. Can you imagine what's going to happen when we go through the real gate? I mean, listen, you think about it. And you know what, me being thankful now and gazing towards that land, it causes me more anxious to go. I can't hardly wait to get there. Paul got to that place. Paul, God used him in an awesome way while he was here. He saw hundreds, thousands come to know Christ. He knew God's provision. He learned to be in whatsoever state he was, therewith be content. But Paul said this, I have a desire to depart and to be with the Lord, which is far better. He had never been there, but he knew it was going to be far better when he got there. And if you're thankful now, if you'll be thankful now, it'll give you that hopeful anticipation that you can keep on keeping on. But you got to know him. I started off by saying he's our creator God, but he is our saving Jehovah God. And if you're not saved this morning, you don't enjoy anything of what I've talked to you about. But you can have it. You can have the blessing now and have it in eternity. But you must have Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed? In just a moment, Ms. Jennifer's coming. Brother Roland's coming. Brother Roland, if you don't mind, I'm going to have you to sing just a verse of a song, and I know that you will. I want us to thank this morning, first of all. Will you thank Him? Just take a minute right now and just start just praising Him. The Bible said, call upon His name. You called on Him in salvation. Now call out to Him in thanksgiving. Lord, I want to thank You for my creation. God, thank You for making me who I am. You fashioned me. You formed me. You've kept me. Many a time I could have died of disease. Many a time I could have been in a deadly accident. But God, You've watched over me. You're my creator, God. God, I also want to thank You that You claimed me, You chose me, You cleansed me, You changed me. Lord, You saved me, made me a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Our Father, I can't even rightly thank You in this body. But God, when I have a brand new body, I can. But God, I can with the breath You've given me, with the voice You've given me. Now, I can praise You. I can talk of Your wondrous works. I can always be telling people how good You've been to me and how You've blessed me. And God, what an effective testimony that would be, because that's giving You honor and praise and all the glory. God, I thank You for my blessing. Thank You for my family. Thank You to not only my Creator and my Savior, but Lord, You are my shepherd. You've taken care of me. God, You've provided me everything I've ever had, every mouth full of food, every stitch of clothing, every step I've taken, every breath I've breathed, every time my heart beat, God, You bless me. I am so thankful. Thank You that You're the good shepherd, that You never leave us. And You said even the good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. God, I'm thankful that You give us all that we need according to Your abundant riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God will make that real in the heart of every believer. But Lord, I pray for those who may not know Christ. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. And God, I pray right now, a man or woman, a boy or girl would understand how good You've been to them, that You've made it rain on the just and the unjust, and whether they knew it or not, everything they've ever received in their life, God, You've blessed them with. And more than that, beyond their understanding now, it's a spiritual thing. The natural man can't receive it. You love them in spiritual ways they have no idea. You love them before the foundation of the world. And You gave Your only begotten Son that they might have everlasting life. And Lord, if they ever get saved, of all the blessings of this life, more than the physical, more than the emotional, more than the financial, they'll be extremely grateful for Your spiritual blessings on their life and saving them. God, I pray right now the Holy Ghost of God would deal with some in the media audience and in this building. Draw them by Your grace and save them. Lord, I'll thank You and praise You. Help them to take a step of faith and right where they are right now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. God, help them right now in their mind and in their heart, with all of their heart, turn from their sin and turn to the Savior and ask You to come in their heart right now and save them for Jesus' sake.